This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Richard Pryor started his comedy career by imitating Bill Cosby, but in his new memoir, Pryor Convictions, Pryor says he knew his days of pretending to be as slick and colorless as Cosby were numbered. There was a world of junkies and winos, pool hustlers and prostitutes, friends and family, screaming inside his head, trying to be heard. As he developed those voices, his own voice, and his thoughts about being black in America, he became one of the most influential comics in the country. As his fame grew, so did his problems, including a string of stormy marriages, a heart attack, and a cocaine addiction. In 1980, he set himself on fire when he was high, burning over 50% of his body. That all became material for his comedy. But his performing career has been virtually ended by multiple sclerosis, which was diagnosed in 1986. Last week, Pryor went to the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles, and I spoke with him long distance. I asked him how much movement he has now.
Well, I walked in here today, and I must say the guy helped me, too, walk up to this chair. But really, I didn't bring my wheelchair in today.
So you can walk?
Yeah, now. This lady, I think her name is Marie. She's my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She comes 3 times a week.
What's the therapy like?
Oh, man. Some days, it's like, I don't feel good, you know? And so I don't want to do it. But she says, well, you have to do it. So 3 times a week, that's what I'm put up with.
Was it like moving arms and legs and things like that?
Man, there was a time I couldn't move any of them. I was in bed like that for a while. I couldn't move.
What did you do to pass the time while you were in bed and couldn't move?
Good question. I'm trying to think. What did I do? Oh, I remember I smoked some bass. No, I did.
Did you really? Or you?
No, I'm serious. And my ex-wife, Flynn, came to visit me, and she walked through my stuff, and she found it, and she said, "What is this?" I had a rock, you know. She said, "What's this?" And I didn't tell her because I was scared. And she said, "Is this dope?" I said, "Nah." I said, "Just looks like it, but that's not really." And she threw it out.
So have you stopped?
Yes.
Was there a turning point that got you to stop?
Yes. Well, it's called being broke.
Now, let me ask you an odd question. I mean, about freebasing. It's bad for your health, right? But, I mean, your health isn't good anyway. So would it being bad for your health not be likely to inspire you to stop? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're making sense, is what you're saying. And if I was that type of person that made sense, I wouldn't be where I am. Because I never made no sense. You know, it was like, life to me was like, not supposed to make sense. Because, hey, I don't care how you slice it, you ain't getting out alive. So enjoy as much as you can.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, some of the things you did were really self-destructive. The free bracing, the setting yourself on fire.
That was a definite.
Definitely self-destructive, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, and it's the kind of behavior that you're warned is going, you know, to really kill you. And you survived all of that. And now you have a disease, MS, that has absolutely nothing, as far as I know, to deal with, you know, quote, bad behavior. Do you know what I'm saying? So it just seems like such an irony that all the things people warned you would really hurt you,
It was the MS.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with you getting MS.
No. It's just like God said, oh, really? Okay, here, boom. So try that on.
Well, do you think it's God punishing you for things you've done? Is that what you're saying?
No. Uh-huh. God don't work like that.
Yeah, so, you could have lived this absolutely exemplary life and still gotten MS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing, though.
Getting MS?
Yeah.
How so?
Because it pushes me forward. I'm going through the therapy, and I'm understanding some things about life I never understood.
Anything you'd care to talk about, or is that too personal to discuss?
There's nothing so personal as when you can't walk the way you want to, and then you have to depend on others to help you. And I go, oh, my God. And that's what it is. It's depending on people. And you have to learn to trust them, which is very hard for me. Very hard. But here I am.
Are the people who are taking care of you, are they professionals, family, both?
They're professionals. The lady that comes 3 times a week, Marie, mm-hmm. She's a definite professional, but she's a very nice lady. I call her the little Nazi.
She works you hard, huh?
Oh, yes.
You know, I think when you're the kind of person who doesn't like to be helped by other people,
yeah,
it's nice to have professionals.
Yes.
It's different, isn't it, than having to rely on,
yes,
a friend or someone in the family?
Of course, that makes me sick to have a friend come over and go, ooh, look at him. Ain't not moving so well. You know, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm. A professional, they know how to deal with somebody who has MS. They come in, they help you, and you pay them. So you don't owe anybody a favor or anything.
There you go. That's true.
My guest is Richard Pryor. He's written an autobiography called Pryor Convictions. We'll take a short break and then talk more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Richard Pryor. So do you perform at all now? I mean, do you?
No.
Would you consider it?
Well, I look forward to it in a couple of months. Going to the Comedy Store and trying it out.
Mm-hmm. What's holding you back? Is it that people are uncomfortable having you perform, or that you don't feel physically up to doing it, that you don't have anything you feel like talking about on stage now?
Physically, I'm not able to control my arms and legs the way I'd like to yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm working toward that.
Now, what about your speech?
Was it that bad just now?
No. But I mean... No, but I mean, do you have complete control over talking, or is that more of an effort for you than it used to be?
Sometimes. It's hard.
Now, I imagine that's very frustrating for you, because if anybody is verbal, it is you.
It's super frustrating, you know?
Are there all kinds of thoughts that are difficult to get out sometimes?
Yes.
So you're thinking at a pace that you can't really verbalize sometimes.
Yes. The brain is wonderful. It goes like that, you know.
So is there this difference between what your brain does and what your body can do, and between what your brain is saying and what you feel like you can express?
Sometimes my brain says, get up and walk. But, I mean, it's a fantasy, you know?
Right.
My brain's playing those tricks because I can't get up and walk.
You are so important to so many people. I mean, so many people have, like, looked up to you for so long. Do you feel that you have to try to handle your illness now as, like, a role model? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're a public person like yourself and people are looking at you, do you feel like, that you need to do it like a role model? Not that you've been a traditional role model to anybody in the past.
It's like...
not that you've taught us to behave in socially accepted ways in the past.
Yeah. Hey, God gave me this. And I'm going to say this truthfully. God gave me just a little bit of it, you know? He said, so slow down for a minute. Take a break. You know, take a break and look at things differently. So I do. Rich is not a bad person. And this disease is just a disease. And I have it. So that's what I deal with.
So what gives you the most pleasure now? What do you enjoy doing the most or enjoy listening to the most?
I like listening to the Gypsy Kings and some Miles Davis, some Marvin Gaye, and sometimes Mozart.
Do you ever listen to your own records or watch your own films?
No. But I have them. No, I don't listen to them. I keep trying to get a friend of mine to listen to this Lenny Bruce record I have. And Lenny Bruce, oh, it was something he did on his album. God, I can't think of it. Come on, Richard. That's what happens. Your brain goes like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it washes away everything you were thinking about. And people stop paying attention to you. You know, you go, I had it.
Now, is that a result of the illness, or is that just the kind of memory lapse that I have every day?
I don't know. I don't know your memory.
It's bad.
Well.
Really bad.
Well. But it's great to have one.
Even
if it is bad.
Yeah. Well, has the illness affected your memory is what I'm asking, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes. Because I remember things, and then I get ready to talk about them, and I forget them.
Mm-hmm. I know you keep a gun next to your bed.
Yeah.
What for?
Because the boogeyman might come in some night.
Who are you expecting?
The boogeyman. I mean, come on. There's such terrible things going on in the world. People are crazy. You know, that place in, where was it? In Oklahoma. That's crazy. That's different than anything I ever knew about America. It's like not America, you know? They're serious about whatever craziness it is. And I don't want to be caught in no trap and not be able to get off one shot.
I mean, excuse me for asking this, but would you be able to even use the gun if you had cause to?
No. I think the hard thing I do is having to cock it. Because it's a 9mm, and the bolt is real hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, wait a minute, please. Just a minute.
Right, help me out here.
Yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. Yeah.
So, but really, what's the point of keeping it then if you can't even use it? Isn't it like more dangerous to you to have it there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No danger. I did my best at the suicide. That's over with. God gives you one chance, and you say, well, you didn't make it, so now you got to do this. So I'm here.
I didn't mean to imply you were leaving it there for suicide.
Good.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Richard Pryor. He has a new autobiography called Prior Convictions. This is Fresh Air.